In beginning our sermon moments today, I would like to share with you a text from the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the briefest of the Gospels, and this part, the beginning of the story, it's from Mark 1:1 and following, right at the very beginning. This is no exception to the brevity that Mark speaks with, but listen to these words, and in them hear the word of the Lord, the coming Messiah, Christ our King. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John, the baptizer, appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I am is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I hope you and your family will be here next Sunday at 10:30 for our chancel choir Christmas celebration. It will be a service of music, a single service that morning. And I hope you'll invite somebody and bring a friend with you. I also hope you'll invite people to come on Christmas Eve. On the 24th, it is a Sunday, we have one single morning service and two services of candlelight and carols and communion in the evening of that day at 5 and 7 p.m. There is no doubt that we shall make it a holy Christmas. But what I would ask you to do is let us share it with someone else. Let us invite people, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, and let us share the joy. Life has its challenges and burdens, many of which we cause by our own actions. But sometimes when we, like Rafiki says, look harder or look longer maybe, we can find that deeply held disappointments can become the roots of hope. John points us to this hope in saying, "Prepare the way of the Lord." John was a little eccentric. Eccentric means out of the center or a little bit off center. Maybe we should celebrate that. In fact, some of us might fit into the same category. For we have to recognize that we're a little bit off center in order to point toward the center. In fact, we have to be a little off center in order to recognize where the center is. We cannot stay in the center, comfortable. For in that attempt to be comfortable, we slip off of it and begin the gravity slide back toward the edge. The edge of what, you might ask? Well, it's the edge when we come to that place where we risk falling away so far that we can't even see the center, or that we don't remember to look for it. The center, for us, of course, is Jesus Christ and our calling to walk with Him, beside Him, and in Him. We think we are centered and strong and that we have everything together, when often we're really outside of the center. Like a tangent that comes off of the circle into infinity, we humans, this one included, come off center sometimes. So we need a checkpoint, a buddy system. We need a checkup, maybe even a leash to keep us pointed back toward the middle. In physics, we learn that objects tend to travel in a straight line unless they are affected by some force, a push or a pull, a gravity maybe. In the spiritual world, well, our spirits are not simple objects. We are objects with a will of our own, which often comes into conflict with God's will or God's plan for us, or sometimes even comes into conflict with common sense. So it takes a spiritual discipline to stay close to the center. It takes accountability too, and that's why we stay connected to the church, the people who are our brothers and sisters, the ones we know love us. I needed some accountability this week. I needed to be held and surrounded. I was there to lead others, but I needed leader as well. It takes this kind of connection and accountability to keep a foot in the center while we step toward the edges of progress or reach out to pull someone back and embrace them. Staying connected to the center means that we stay grounded. When we're left on our own, we humans have a basic discontentment. We have a need for something that we don't have, maybe an itch that needs to be scratched, to be filled. But you know, to become filled, we have to first become emptied of ourselves. A call to the thrill of adventure grabs us, and when we put ourselves in the situation where we are off the center or out of range of hearing, sometimes we can't even hear well enough to check in. When we were on some of our excursions this week and the week before in Israel, we had these little earpieces that we put in our ears so that we could hear our guide. There were 20 in our group. And we were in places sometimes that were crowded with people, and so it was really wonderful to have him able to whisper in our ears. In fact, the system was called the whisper system. It was good to be able to hear that voice, and even though it was Deeb's voice, I could imagine sometime that it was the Lord's voice that was calling us together to move us forward and keep us from getting too far off the path. You know, those systems work because if you get a little too far from the path, you start fading out and you can't hear all the words. And so you know you've got to start catching up. How do I know that? Because I was one of the ones who kept getting behind time and again, going what I wanted to see. But I'd catch up when I could hear that the voice was fading out. If we could just do that in our spiritual lives and remember that we have to stay in range and we have to have our ears on. We have to listen. Sometimes the path of life is zigzagged or jagged. It's not new. We never travel anywhere but what someone else has been there before. But we are called to travel and search for contentment and hope, and to search in the ways that we know that can come through the grace of God. We may be called to go on a pilgrimage of something very old to establish our roots. Or we may be called to move into a future where we've never been before, expecting to find hope and sometimes disappointment. Because of the scripture stories that we share and read and hear, we can go to our very own holy land in the presence of God and in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We turn to Scripture for that foundation, for that hope. Like Psalm 90, verse 2, that says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." In Romans, we read these words of hope, where we hear of Christ's victory. "In all these things we win a sweeping victory," it says, "for we are more than conquerors through the one who loved us." Paul goes on to say, "I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life or angels or rulers, not things present or future things or powers or height nor depth nor anything else that is created." And yet we worry. Sometimes we think that we have stepped off the path, that we've gotten out of the range of what we should be hearing, and we get worried. But if you have ever believed in the grace of God through Christ, then you have conquered your worries. Jesus invited those who were worry-weary to come to Him. And it seems like He knew that life would get to us sometimes. Are you turning to Him? Are you finding your way to Him? He says, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. Put on My yoke and learn from Me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest for yourselves. For My yoke is easy to bear, and My burden is light." So go out of your way to show the love of God today. You might be helping someone find the way for the first time. God's servant shouldn't be argumentative, but should be kind toward all people, able to teach, able to be patient and point the way. Don't just pray about a problem or a challenge. Pray through it. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and rescues us from all our troubles. Maybe sometimes through our troubles, those gifts can come. Remember that Joseph was a man of few words. None of his words are recorded in Scripture. And yet he is distinctly a key player, moving his family, welcoming a son without understanding where he came from. Joseph's words are not recorded in Scripture, perhaps because he was more of a listener. I like that. When we don't talk, maybe we can listen better. Maybe we can hear the whispers of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God has never stopped moving. We should talk less and live inspired by God today and always. Luke 11:13 says, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" It's not a question, but a proclamation, an exclamation. Say with the psalmist, "I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me." And hear the witness of the prophet Jeremiah. "The more you seek God, the more you will see God." Jeremiah 29:11 has become such a popularly quoted verse. "I know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They're plans for peace and not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. But I want you to hear the next part of that. It is a promise. God goes on. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. I will listen to you. God is faithful in every season of your life. You can trust God at every step of life's journey. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, children of Jacob, have not perished." Therefore, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless God's name. Let us look with hope for his coming and not miss it because of the noise, even the noise of Christmas. Let us look beyond the busyness, beyond the distractions, beyond the buyers and the sellers. Don't be corralled with the flashing lights of Christmas and the party music, celebrating whatever those around you are celebrating. Let your heart resonate with the heartbeat of Christmas, the very light and life of Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. It's because of his ultimate gift that we are motivated to give gifts to those whom we love. People will not always be able to understand the peace that you have through your storms, but they will see that peace. I call you to seek peace this season, to visualize peace and pray for it, not only in our world, but in your home and the homes on your street, and even in our own hearts and spirits. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for God's people of your home and of every place. Actively seek peace and pray for it. Live toward it. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus, the Christ of Christmas, our Savior and our guide. So be it in your heart and in your home. Amen.